You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
As we welcome in Jerry Blevins, the former Met reliever, who, by the way, now has a new podcast that he co-hosts on through John Boy's media empire that is growing called Shea Station. And Jerry has been on SNY quite a bit, does a great job with his analysis. We had him on a few weeks ago about the sticky stuff situation, and he was terrific about it. But Jerry, before we get to the state of the Mets, I have to ask a question based on a tweet of yours just a little while ago. it says that you made yourself an affogato today. What exactly is an affogato?
An affogato is, if you don't know what it is, like, I feel honored to bestow you this beautiful knowledge, but it's like a shot of espresso poured over some gelato. It's like a root beer float, but the adult version with caffeine, and it is delicious. And it gives you that little pick-me-up if you need it. Plus, it's a little bit like a dessert, and it's a lovely combo. I highly recommended it. I needed a little pick-me-up. My little, my two boys, 3 and 1.5, have been chasing me around all day, so I just needed that little boost, and I got it.
Wow. I'm trying to think. So is that like, did you use gelato? Did you use ice cream? And what flavor did you use?
So I'm a vanilla gelato with espresso kind of guy. It's simple, delicious. My first one I got it at in New York City. My wife and I were just dating at the time, and we were in Italy. In the Flatiron there.
Yeah.
And somebody was eating one. Somebody had one, and I was like, oh, what is that? And they told me. I was like, well, got to try it. And it's fantastic. It's been a regular rotation for me when I need a boost in the afternoon.
That's outstanding. And you made your own today for the first time.
Not for the first time, but it was the first time in a while. Okay. And it was wonderful, and I just felt like I had to share it to the world. So see what I'm doing? I'm helping the people.
You really are, and that's why I love the fact that you're doing the podcast now, and this is, you're helping me, because I didn't even know what it was. I thought it was like some sort of Italian quesadilla when I saw it, or when I heard about it, the way you described it.
It's one of the many things that the Italian people have given this world that's a beautiful thing, especially from the culinary side, and it's wonderful.
Jerry Blevins, former Met reliever, is with us to talk about the Mets. I do have one other question, first of all, and that was something that came out, two things that came out on your podcast. Number one, your disdain for hitters with double flapped helmets. And secondly, I had no idea that your first career, do I have this right? Your first career major league hit came against Clayton Kershaw?
Oh man, Chris, see, you're my guy here. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I'll address the double ear flap. This is strictly aesthetic purposes for me. One of the coolest things about being in the big leagues is that one ear flap helmet, because it makes no sense, safety wise, but you
of
just
course.
Look and feel so cool. It's so big league, and then you have guys in the league that choose to wear the double ear flap, like the little league helmets. And I'm just like, what are you doing? You get a chance to look and wear one of the coolest pieces of equipment on the face of the planet, and you choose to ignore that. And so I sent out a tweet today, and I said, you just look like a goober on the field, because you're like, oh, why would you do that? It's like, I don't know, you see the guy on the golf course wearing the knickers. You're just like, why, man?
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
No.
That's a choice, and I don't appreciate that choice.
And it's a choice to get attention in possibly the dumbest way possible.
That's true. So, I mean, Jed Lowry, who's a switch hitter, chooses to wear the double ear flap so he doesn't have to lug around both. But I'm lugging around both. I don't
Absolutely.
Care what the
end
is.
That,
you know,
I mean,
at the big league level, they load it up for you. You know, and then Shin-Soo Choo told me, so he's a left-handed hitter, and he only wore that. And I asked him, I was like, Why do you wear the double ear flap? And he says it's because when he head first slides into second base, it has that little bit extra coverage on his left ear because it's a left-handed helmet. And so I was like, all right, but still, like, maybe switch it once you get to first base. I don't know.
I'm with
you. I just love the look. love the look of the one ear flap helmet. It's nothing says big leagues quite like that helmet. And so
I agree. If you're a kid growing up, and you're seeing that, like, I can't even imagine why I would wear the double flap helmet, because it makes you look like the Great Gazoo is what it does from the Flintstones.
That's true. And if you're a skinny guy like I am, a narrow-framed human being, the double ear-flapped helmet makes you look even skinnier because it just sticks out so big. And so, any chance I can get to look bulkier, which is, you know, just in my own head because it'll never happen, I'm for that as well.
Well, I'm not a slim individual. I'm 3 bills, and I have a size 8 head, so that's going to make it look like I have a size 12 head. So I don't need that either. But
Chris, that's a record-setting noggin. You and Bruce Bochy might have the only 8s in the game these days.
It was in the game these days. It was me, Bruce Bochy, and Kevin Mensch.
That's right. I forgot about Mensch. He's got the big head too. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, listen, I've worked hard on it.
You got a lot of brain in there.
No, there's a lot of something, but it's not that. Tell me about the Kershaw at bat. When you get your first big league hit.
I'll tip the scale and I'll reveal. You know, it's not really Clayton Kershaw. It was actually Scott Kingery. It was against a position player, but I'm starting this trend of just, you know, telling the world what I want to happen. But like I said, I show my grandkids that it was a hit off of one of the greatest pitchers of a generation. But the truth is, it was Scott Kingery in a game where we were up like 20-4 at the time. But it doesn't make me feel any less great about it, because it's one of the moments. Yesterday was the anniversary of my first and only hit in my whole career. And I broke out the bat. That's been authenticated. The baseball, I put it on the podcast, the little video we sent out. It's a shining moment in my career. I only got 4 at-bats over my 13-year, you know, big league career, and I've got a hit. It's the coolest thing in the world to get a big league baseball hit. You know, you get a knock in the show, man. It went on my baseball card. It's one of my favorite moments in my career, and every year when it comes around, I'm celebrating it.
When does a reliever get a chance to ever get an at bat? I don't blame you. Like, that should be a holiday in your family, from my estimation. That's as important as an anniversary. Well, maybe not marriage. I don't think you could sell that. That's as important as a birthday.
Yeah, I'm gonna push it. I'm gonna push for it to be celebrated. I might throw a party here. You know, these summer, I have so much time now in the summer, being now freshly retired, that I've got to fill my days and have excuses for family and friends to come over. And so that sounds like just as good a reason as any to have people over and celebrate my hit. I'll put it on loop on the TVs. We'll have a good time with it.
Jerry Blevins, the former Met reliever, with us now, co-host of a podcast with John Boy Media named Shea Station about the Mets. All right, Jerry, I'm just going to make it as simple as possible. What the hell's happened here?
I think reality set in a little bit. The boys are... they've been kind of underperforming all year in Queens, and they lost first place. They're at 500 now, and they're getting their butts kicked by two of the best teams in the game, between the Dodgers and the Giants. They're in the middle, or actually in the beginning, of this really tough road trip. They're, I think, 4.5 back now in the division, or 3.5 back. And so they're really just kind of trying to fight, and they're showing some fight. They're playing better baseball as of late, but they're facing the best competition. So they're basically trying to get through this long road trip, this West Coast road trip, where they're right now they're in San Francisco, then they go to LA, then they come home, and then they face San Francisco and LA again. So they're in this really tough stretch of ball games where they're being tested, and right now they're just trying to make sure that they're not getting too far away from that division lead from Atlanta and Philly in front of them. That way they have a puncher's chance in the month of September. And so the brand of baseball that they're playing is put them in this position, but they really started to show some life lately. And unfortunately, it's against teams that are just better than them. And if they want to win the World Series, they're going to have to run through San Francisco and LA anyway. So they're really getting a taste of who they are and a little bit of punishment for the lack of urgency that they've had over the last couple of weeks.
Jerry, I have contended for quite some time, including back toward the end of the first half, that they were going to regret, even though they had as many injuries as they did, that they did not add more cushion to that lead. And maybe even at the deadline, as they did get Baez, and I know the pitching market was tough, maybe took for granted a little bit as to how poorly the Phillies and the Braves had played so far. Is any of that fair in evaluating where they are right now?
So I think that's more than fair. I think that's a little bit on the lenient side. The fact that Philly and Atlanta didn't really run away with this division is pretty much a miracle, because they're the only reason why the Mets aren't, they're still having a fighter's chances, because the division has stayed, you know, relatively in the same boat. Like, nobody's really took off. Atlanta's playing great baseball right now, and they're on a really good run. But other than that, everybody just kind of treaded water, and nobody wanted to take the division. And so because of that, the Mets are still in it. They've played terrible baseball. They've had really bad luck with injuries. They lost the best pitcher on the planet for most of the season, who was having an absolutely record-breaking season in Jacob deGrom. And you can't count on him to come back yet, because you don't know what you're going to get with his injury. So if he comes back, anything you get from him is a bonus. The trade for Javi Baez, you know, he's on the IL, so you don't know when he's going to come back. And so all these things, the depth, the injuries, the lack of putting it together at any point during the season, it's all come to bite him in the butt. But the good news is, there is good news to this. They do have a chance. They can still put this together and win the division. They have a lot of ball games left. They do have this tough stretch, but September opens it up for them. And they still can fight, man. And so that's what I'm looking for out of this series, out of this road trip. You may still get your butt kicked, but coming out of it, it'll show who you are, what your character is of this team, that you know that you can still win, and they can. And so I'm just looking for them to show a little bit of character, a little bit of fight. I don't need you to lose or win every ball game, but I need you to show that you want to win every ball game, that you're willing to fight, you're willing to put yourself out there. And they still can win it. And so I'm still a big fan of this team. I was with them in spring training, and I think they have the chance to do it. Obviously, if they get the best player on the planet and Jacob deGrom back, that's the only way I think they win the World Series. But they still have a chance at the division. And I just want to see them show some character and push forward and give this fan base, this really nice, good New York Mets fan base, something to cheer about.
Jerry Blevins is with us, co-host of a new podcast for John Boy named Shea Station. And Jerry, this might be one of those unanswerable questions, but I'll ask it anyway. You were in the game long enough where you have been on teams that has been going through a tough stretch, and teams that found their way out of it and teams that really didn't. So what's the difference?
The difference is leadership. It's being able to have your veteran guys, when the young guys are feeling down, to look at those veteran guys and watch them lace their cleats up and go out and try to win a ball game despite all the things that have happened in the past, to have a short-term memory, to have a positive attitude, and have your leaders in the clubhouse show it on the field. And I think that's why I still believe in this team. They have really good players in significant roles, like McCann and Lindor, DeGrom, you know, Carrasco's a good leader, Stroman, all these guys bring a positive attitude. And I think they've been buried a little bit by, you know, saying, stick with us, we're going to show you, we have great team chemistry. And it started to irritate people, because how long can you talk about how good this team can be until you have to show it? And so this is where that veteran leadership needs to step up and show it. They need to lead the way, have the big hits with runners in scoring position, get the big outs when runners are in scoring position for the other team, and lead the way and show the team, show the guys, show the fans, show the front office that these are the guys that you need in this clubhouse to win a World Series. And so it's time for them to step up. They still have it. I believe in the team. I believe in the leadership. But now is the time to put up. It's time to put the pedal to the metal and show this world what you got.
And last one on this. I have compared asking your fans to stay up this late on the East Coast for these games is the equivalent of your best friend or a good friend asking you to help them move. Fair or foul?
It is. It is. If you're playing terrible baseball, it's really hard.
Well, that's why I would say that.
I'm with you. That's a fair assessment, Chris. The thing is, though, you'll find out really quickly who those real family members, those real friends are, because even though, you know, it really sucks and that's a terrible thing and position to put somebody in to ask them to move and help you move, the ones that really love you, the ones that really care, will come over, bring coffee and donuts, and they'll help you load that couch onto the U-Haul or whatever it may be. So, you know, I grew up, I'm living in Ohio currently, my whole family's from, you know, the East Coast time zone, and I came up with Oakland playing on the West Coast. So all my family and friends, you find out who they really are over the course of your career, because you'll get texts after a good game, you know, at 2:30 in the morning from your really close friends, and then you'll see who cares, because you'll get an 8 a.m. text the next day, like, oh, good job, guys. So you'll find out who they are. You don't have to stay up every night, because you guys have, you know, families have lives, they have jobs, but I'm sure that's the first thing they're doing when they wake up in the morning is checking the highlights if they didn't stay up all night. And so just believe. That's all they want you to do, is really to have the fans believe and support and push them and hold them accountable like they hold themselves accountable.
One last one on the affogato. Do you is it, after you put the espresso in with the ice cream, is it more of a drinking melted ice cream, or are you using the spoon rather prominently, or are you just mixing it all together?
See, these are the real questions. This is yeah. why you are you. That's why you get paid the big bucks, Chris. See,
yeah, I try.
There is a personal preference that you could iron out yourself. So for me, I like to make it mostly ice cream. Like, I like a root beer float. Uh-huh. I like to use the spoon and then just have the flavor mixed in. So for me, I let the espresso shot cool down a little bit, and it just lightly melts the gelato. And so mostly it's ice cream. And then at the very end, it's like almost a milkshake at the very bottom. Oh. And you can drink the rest of it. So you're not wasting the shot of espresso, and you're getting the lovely flavor of the gelato.
So, I love this.
Man, this is groundbreaking journalism right here. I love it.
Listen, it's 9:20 at night. The Mets don't start for another 40 minutes, and things are not going great. I'd rather know about the affogato.
There you go. That's what I'm here for, right? To give the people what they want. Let me know, Chris, if and when you try a gelato.
Oh, you can lock it up that I'm going to be trying it now. You can absolutely lock it up, and it'll be sooner rather than later, because I'm working some longer hours too.
Are you going to go for the full mix and blend, or are you going to do the mostly like heavier gelato side?
Jerry, I'm the kind of guy, let's let it fly. Let's just see what happens. Let's, you know, this is not, I don't need to plan this whole thing out. I'm not a regimented guy. Let's see how the magic comes together. That's what I'd like to know.
I respect it, because it is magical. I'll promise you that one.
Jerry Blevins, awesome stuff. Appreciate you coming on for a few minutes. Check out the podcast through John Boy Media, Shea Station. Thanks again, Jerry. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Chris. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.